This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Warren on Joy.
Tomorrow, the Eastern Football League will host a Pride Cup match between Bayswater and Upper Ferntree Gully men's and women's teams, which is great, to promote LGBTIQ inclusion in the sport. And joining us in the studio is the founder of the Pride Cup campaign, Jason Ball. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, guys.
Hello. Thank you for coming to Joy.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. Anytime.
Jason, in 2012, you were the first male Aussie rules player to publicly come out as gay. How'd your teammates in your club react, and was it what you expected?
It wasn't what I expected, because all of the fears that I had about how they were going to react to me weren't realised. Growing up, a lot of homophobic language was used around the club, and that was the indication that I had that I probably wasn't going to be accepted. I thought, you know, maybe I'd be even get kicked off the team. People want to play on the same team as me. But at the end of the day, they were really supportive. Not only did they stand by my side, but together we marched in Pride March and we created the first Pride Cup.
Well done. So what are some of the barriers that might make a young sports person fear about coming out to their team or to the media?
Yeah, well, there was some research that came out a few years after I came out, which kind of backed up that my story wasn't an isolated one. It found that 80% of Australians had experienced homophobia in sport. And the impact that that has was that 87% of young gay people playing sport felt the need to be in the closet. And it even found that gay spectators didn't feel safe necessarily attending live sporting events. So there's a lot of room for improvement there.
Or then you'd have people like me who have never played sport since I was six because you were made fun of.
Exactly.
And they just refused to ever go near it, ever.
That's
after
right.
That day. Yeah.
And what the research also says is that sport can be a really great thing for a person's health and well-being. So, you know, whether it's a physical aspect or the mental health aspect of running around, or the social aspects that come from being part of a team sport, especially in a regional town where that club is sort of the heart of the community, to feel excluded from that or to feel like you can't be yourself in that environment, you know, just further compounds because we're missing out on all the positive aspects.
Well, in a country, I mean, I brought my children up in a country, there's two things, the school or the sporting club. And that's the only, if you're not a member of one of those two, you don't have any social life. It's everything. So you're right. It's important that you are a member of a sporting club when you live in the country.
But don't you think it's also important to, like, I think of myself and playing football, I could not catch a ball if I tried. And I hated it. But there was this pressure, because it's one of the mainstream sports, to play that at school. And I found that quite difficult. Yet there were sports that I was really good at that were perhaps a bit unusual and weren't necessarily encouraged to do.
Me too. I was a school champion in primary school of elastics.
Were you?
Do you remember elastics? The girls used to put in, I could jump. And they made me not play elastics. My parents had to come in. I had to go and play with the boys. I wasn't allowed to play elastics with the girls.
I remember being, I was laughed at with cricket and football. And then I remember we played archery and run and in front of everyone. And everyone, you know, these things were flying off all over the place. And I got this bullseye. And people thought, oh my goodness, Warren can actually do something. Straight away.
Did you get a second one?
No, that was it. Blue. That was the only one ever. In 2014, Jason, your team, Yarra Glen, held the first ever Pride Cup to promote inclusion and diversity in the game. What makes a Pride Cup so different to an ordinary game of football?
Well, firstly, there's a whole lot more colour in the game. So we painted our 50-metre line rainbow. We
Fantastic.
Created special rainbow jumpers with the Pride colours inside it. We presented the Pride Cup to the winning team, which, of course, was Yarra Glen 5 years in a row. And that game, you know, since that first one all the way back in 2014, this year there's about more than 12 happening across regional Victoria now.
So the Pride Cup format, is that only tailored for football though, or has it branched out into other sports?
Well, that's sort of where we're at now, is we are getting other codes wanting to take this concept. And I think it doesn't really matter what code you're in. When it comes to team sports, there's similar cultural problems. And so I think the solution can be just the same. And we have ice hockey have done a Pride game, water polo have done a Pride game. And I'm working now with James Lolicato, who's the former CEO of Proud to Play, which is an organisation that runs sporting clinics for LGBTI young people to keep them engaged in sport and help sporting codes with policy. He and I have come together to create a new non-profit organisation, Pride Cup Australia, so that we can work with any sporting club at any level in any code to help them host a Pride Cup.
That's really good. It's really good. I mean, because we always think of sport in Victoria as basically just football. But there's so much out there, isn't there? There's plenty.
There is, absolutely. And I mean, Melbourne has a really great culture of, you know, queer sporting teams, and there's a lot of LGBTI inclusive teams to play for. But the Pride Cup is heading out there into mainstream sports to make sure that they're inclusive and welcoming places as well.
Jason, is it important that sports people reveal their sexuality or their gender identity to the public?
I think that's an interesting question, and I don't think anyone should ever be forced out of the closet. Obviously, that's a personal decision, but it's important to note that people who are in the closet are often significantly worse off in terms of their mental health, in terms of their well-being. And so I think it's up to the sporting culture and the code at the national level to create an environment where people can come out if they want to.
Which is only going to make it better for the children coming through the next level.
100%. I think it's quite possibly that our first openly gay AFL player at that elite level may actually come from someone who's being drafted into an AFL team and they're already openly gay because they've grown up in this world where it's much
so
more accepting.
Always yeah. move through the ranks.
As opposed to someone who's currently playing or a former player because, yeah, I mean, just look at the experience of Ian Thorpe, for example. You know, once you've gone along with someone's assumptions once or told that lie once, you just have to keep lying and lying. That can become a burden. That can be really hard to shoulder.
Yeah, and that's all we ever wanted to talk about, which was ridiculous. I mean, the guy won medals, was represented, and all we ever cared about was, oh, what'd you lie for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so we still don't have any male players at the senior level that are publicly out.
Have you not read Joel Creasy's book?
No.
Oh, well, publicly out. You're right. That's right. Yeah. Sorry, publicly out.
But when the AFLW started last year, we suddenly had a senior league with plenty of, you know, LGBTI-identifying players. Do you think this will make it easier for male players to come out when the time is right?
Yeah, I hope so. I think the women certainly are leading the way. And that didn't necessarily happen overnight either. I think even for the women, there's challenges when it comes to homophobia in sport. It kind of impacts on women in the opposite way that it impacts on men. The stereotype for gay men is that they don't or can't play sport. The stereotype for women, if you play a rough contact sport like AFL, then you must be a lesbian. Both are not true. There are many gay men who play sport, including some gold medal Olympians. There's many straight women who play contact sports like AFL, but both are damaging in terms of people feeling like they need to be in the closet. And for some of those AFLW players, when that season went national, there's a lot of them felt like they maybe had to go back into the closet. A lot of them deleted photos off their Instagram. They weren't sure if this would be palatable for a national television audience. No, a parent's going to not let their young girls play the game if they know that lesbians play it. I think, you know, the fact that we have Pride games in the Women's League, we had it with Western Bulldogs and Carlton this year in the AFLW, and we're seeing it through Pride Cups at a grassroots level. It's just as important for the women to know that they too should be proud to be themselves. And if you've got openly gay people playing sport in women's sport, that's a great thing. Celebrate that.
So earlier this year, you started a crowdfunding campaign to roll out the Pride Cup to 150 clubs Australia-wide. You reached a $50,000 goal. So what happens now?
We sure did. Well, look, that was just to get us started on that journey. We're now having conversations with to form nationwide partnerships with government, with sporting codes and with corporate Australia. We're talking to some big brands. We want to raise a whole lot more money to, you know, hire people and over a three-year program so that we can work alongside sporting clubs, provide them with templates and resources to help them organise such an event.
So all the CEOs out there looking for next year's budget to give away some money?
Yep.
Jason's your man.
Yep.
Yeah.
Get in touch with Joy and I'm sure they'll pass on my details.
Oh, well, I do cream off the top and then I will pass
you
the rest.
Take a cut.
You know, that's
fair
part
enough
of the deal. You know? Yeah.
So tomorrow's Eastern Football League Pride Cup is between Bayswater and Upper Ferntree Gully. It's at Bayswater Oval. Do you know what the men's match starts at 2 p.m?
Yeah, right? The men's game at 2 p.m. and the women's game after that. They've also got a lunch happening from 12 o'clock. And it's a really beautiful story, actually, the Bayswater Pride Cup. It was initiated by a mum whose son had played at Bayswater. He now lives overseas and he actually came out after he finished playing, but she's still really involved in the club, and they now have a women's team and have a couple of openly gay players in that. And so, you know, that combination of, you know, this family who's one of their kids played at the ground but didn't feel ever comfortable to come out while he was playing. The Pride Cup is sort of in his honour in a way, which is, I think, a really beautiful story.
Nice. So if there are clubs out there that would like to get involved, what do they do?
Yeah, just go to our website, so pridecup.org.au. They can sign up and then they'll hear from us. We'll be releasing sort of a how-to guide, a Pride Cup handbook around October this year to help clubs start planning for a game next year.
But you know what, Jason? You've nearly convinced me to see my first AFL game.
Oh, I would love to take you to a game of AFL.
So 10 years in Melbourne,
or
can you believe it?
Or a game of country footy. They're the best. They're the best ones to go to.
Oh, because you're allowed to drink. They're not going to give me plastic
glasses. And you can
glasses.
Go out onto the ground. It's fantastic.
We were talking about that today, I will go because I have this fascination that I always want to be a streaker. I wanted to run through the middle of MCG, and I want, like, this is, well, like about 40-something hot men out there. I wanted them all to chase me. Yeah.
Our first Pride Cup streaker. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. You don't want to see my little white ranger ass run across the field. It gets rid of people.
Jason, you've been announced as the candidate for Greens for the seat of Higgins for the next federal election. We had Maureen Farahi. Farahi. She became Australia's first female Muslim senator less than 24 hours after fellow Senator Fraser Anning called for Muslim immigration to be halted entirely. She's since slammed Fraser as a merchant of hate who spat in the face of our successful multicultural society. Do people like Fraser turn you off politics?
Look, people like Fraser motivate me to get into politics because we need better people in politics than this current crop. That was an absolute disgrace, his speech and talking about the final solution, completely ignorant. And but, you know, just 24 hours after that, you know, we had Labor and Liberal parties also criticising him, which was great. But then, you know, the very next minute they were voting to support laws keeping children and families in offshore detention centres in Manus and Nauru. So I think there's a whole lot more than just Fraser Anning that's a problem in Australian politics at the moment.
They were a little bit late to come out and condemn. It seemed to be once we all threw up a, you know, now we'll come out and say it was bad.
It's a real lack of leadership, you know.
Yeah, we need them to come
out
straight
on the front foot.
Good on you, mate. We do need people in there with some intelligence. I hope you get in there and shake them up.
Sort them out.
Yeah. Take that Barnaby Joyce out.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Jason.
Wake up with Tom and Warren, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Available via podcast at joy.org.au, on iTunes or your favourite podcasting platform. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.